Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Is there a duality operating that you can identify? Assignment, rearrange the voices on each side of the duality. Which aspect of ego do you see on each side? RL. Example, one side. It's not really a problem, head in the sand. Second side, you have to do something about this, exasperated. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller.
Oh, hi. This is Karen.
Hello, Karen. What are you seeing?
Well, the duality that I'm looking at is it's quite frustrating. It's there's this great enthusiasm. Oh, I really want to do this. You know, oh boy, there's this excitement, and then there's this. I don't really feel like that now. I don't really want, you know.
Back, I want to. I don't feel like it.
There's a yeah. Well, yeah, kind of. Or I can't, or, oh, no, you can't, or, you know, and it's just back and forth. And, I mean, it's just watching the enthusiasm get squelched.
And, or as we say, siphoned off.
Yeah, siphoned off. And I just think, God, it's amazing I've done anything in my life sometimes. I mean, I've done quite a bit.
It is, Karen. It is. It is amazing that we ever get past that. Yes, it is.
Yeah, and to just see it still operating, and especially now for some reason, because I for whatever reason, there's a lot of enthusiasm, and then I just keep watching how things just get kind of dropped. And anyway.
Let me ask you this. Let's cut to the chase here. Let me ask you this. Do you know what's going on?
I'm listening to the voices. I listen to the voices, I think there's too many things.
Now we're into listening to the voices make cases. Okay, you have been practicing awareness for a long time.
Yes,
and so the life force, the energy that's available to you, is a lot more. If you look back over your life, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on.
And it was exhausting.
It was exhausting. And over time, as you've practiced, there is so much more life force, or we could just say life, available to you.
Yeah.
Well, what lives off of that? Ego.
Yeah.
Right? So as there's more life force, ego is going to come in to reap the benefits of all your work.
Yeah. It's never going to stop doing that.
No, it's never going to stop. We have to stop it.
Okay. Yeah.
So will it stop? Absolutely. But it's never going to stop on its own, which is why I like to use the old blackmailer image. You know, as long as you keep handing over that cash, that blackmailer is in business, right? It's never going to quit. Why would it?
Yeah.
You're paying it, right? And so if you want to stop paying, you have to stop participating in that. Which is why, with the email class going on and this and everything else that I'm yammering at people about all the time, we have to get out of the conversation in the head.
Yeah.
Now, the work that we're doing here is to identify who these characters are, right? Because otherwise, we think the case that they're making is legitimate. Well, yeah, that's true. You know, there are so many things that you want to do, and probably actually, Karen, you are the problem. It's probably not the blackmailer in your head. You're just over enthusiastic. If you would just calm down and just pick one thing, then there wouldn't be a problem. All this would work. See, you see how it's your fault?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, really the only authentic thing in all that you've described is just that is the life force.
That's it.
And it's all that.
Which you get to have, which belongs to you, which is yours. And here's the other piece of it. I hate always to use the word work with practice because it's actually not work, but let's just go with that.
Okay.
You've worked hard to be able to have that life force available to you, to be able to live in that, be in that, enjoy that.
Yeah.
Don't let it get taken away from you.
Okay.
Identify who these characters are and recognize them for what they are.
Okay. And
all right.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Go happy.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Karen. It's a very interesting place in process, right, Cherry, that excitement doesn't necessarily mean doing.
Yes, exactly.
The excitement about something always gets translated into implementing what you're excited
doing.
About. Right.
Doing.
And just, I'll never forget, I think it's Alan Watts who says, when we get to that ecstatic moment, we think that what we did got us to the ecstatic moment. It's not that. It's just we're in the ecstasy, right? That there's a way in which if we are here, and this is how I look at it, every possibility that has existed from the beginning of beginningless time in this moment is available to me. Just imagine everything that is potential in the moment that I'm conscious of. Of course it's exciting, it's heady, it's all filled with possibility. That doesn't mean that I get that the movement forward is to execute on all of the possibilities that are going to coalesce into an action in the next moment.
Yes. I was just telling somebody about my, and I always butcher these things, but it's close to this. It's in some form of the I Ching that was put out. And the teaching is, the world is full of fascinating, exciting things. So what?
Yeah.
Let's just stay with the excitement and fascination.
That's right. Exactly. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Oh, hello. This is Diana.
Hello, Diana. What are you seeing?
Well, participation has been important to look at. I've seen how love of participating, passion for participating, enthusiasm gets boxed into having to look a particular way to fit in, needs to be helpful, say something smart, and how fear of retribution is that piece that is the big suppressor boxer-upper.
Boxer-upper. Yeah, exactly. Because the underlying message in all of that, of course, is as you are, that's not good enough. Right? It just supports that deep down belief that there is something wrong with you, you're not enough, and therefore, of course, you need to, and then fill in the blank, not participate, wait until you're fixed, be improved, work on yourself endlessly, whatever it is.
Exactly.
And of course, the main thing is feel alone, like you don't belong, and that you need to just stay home and again, sit on the couch and talk with ego until you're better.
Yeah, you know, ego, I just really hit a soft spot. It feels like a friend. And I'm
seeing
that it's not just a friend.
It knows you so well.
Yeah.
And it cares about you and understands how people don't really appreciate you or see you or, and all of the stuff that,
you've nailed it.
And it's so fascinating, isn't it? Because if it weren't saying that to you, you wouldn't have that experience.
Exactly.
It's fiendish, isn't it? But clever.
Very clever. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
You are so welcome.
Okay.
All right. Onward and upward, right?
Absolutely.
And,
go happy.
And a recording, go happy, a recording about having participated and none of the horrors that ego would like to predict happened.
Yes. Thank you. I will do so. Thank you.
Very good.
Perfect.
All right. Take good care. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Diane. Yeah, it's so creepy, right, Cherry, that we're protected by the very thing. We believe we are protected by the very thing that takes our lives and that we defend it.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. That's sort of how we wrote about the con artist having the upper hand. Recruit us to defend it. Yeah.
Exactly so. You know, I don't know if this is too tangential, but one of the things studies have shown is that Americans, and maybe this is true for everybody, but Americans really believe that they are in grave danger all the time.
Mm.
Why? Because we watch TV shows that make it seem like, you know, the bad guys are just coming after us. That all we get is bad news. You know, if there's anything that happened anywhere on the planet, it's put into our head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we just live in this. It's a miracle that we've survived the day,
mm-hmm.
when actually we were never in danger from mm-hmm. anything except that voice in the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing how realities get created for us, right?
Oh,
because
my
it's
God.
All selective.
Yeah.
What's it called? Selective selection.
Yeah.
To reinforce the thing that needs to be reinforced, which is conditioned.
Ego. Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Judy here, San Francisco.
Hello, Judy. What are you seeing?
So, you know, I didn't see two sides of duality. I saw four sub-personalities kind of all on one side. It was... mostly around a gang. four punks ganging together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Judy, what's their message? What are they
stay home?
Yes, stay home, stay inside. Just like you said earlier, you know, world is scary, life is scary.
Not just the pandemic. This is generally
just life,
right?
Yeah,
before the pandemic, right? Even a mask and social distancing is not going to resolve this.
So they're all of the same mind, like. Things will go wrong. I need to stockpile, you know, hold on, close in.
Uh-huh. Hunker down. Hunker down and survive life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the only price we pay is joy, enjoyment, fun,
mm-hmm.
laughter.
Missing it. Yeah.
Love.
Life.
Yeah. Mm. And so on the other side of that, I guess you should be very afraid is part of that gang.
Mm-hmm.
And so so they are all arrayed against the possibility that you will choose life.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
which must be a pretty strong possibility for you, since it takes so many of them to hold the other side of that duality down.
Right, there's four of them.
Yeah,
very strong. Yeah, you're right. The other side of choosing life is so threatening that we need four of them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, Judy, where did that leave you? What do you see about that when you look at that duality?
When I heard what you just said, I'm seeing that choosing life is a quiet staying still. It's not falling for the urgency and the sky is falling. So
mm-hmm.
being still.
Being.
Mm. Mm.
Which is really, that is such an important insight, because all that team, that gang, would make it sound like they're keeping you from going out and doing something, right? Because going out and doing something is what's dangerous. People are dangerous. Mm. Things are dangerous, right? But really, being with life is a matter of being present, being still, being, yeah? And so they can't actually stop you from that. In there's a way in which they are supporting you in that, and it just takes a shift in your attention to choose freedom rather than that oppression.
A shift to move from oppression to freedom, just being.
Just being. Right? There's no danger in being except for the ego. It's very dangerous for the ego.
Right.
Which is what that conversation is meant to keep us from ever noticing. Actually, I'm fine.
Wow. Thank you.
Something to look at, huh?
Oh, yes. For a lifetime.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you, Judy.
Thanks, Judy. That was such a powerful and subtle place, right, Cherry, that you just pointed to, which is the fear is around doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the focus is on doing, and fear of not doing or doing or whatever it is or what should be done.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we miss that crucial place of there's no campaign. That's why we miss the campaign or the idea that being is what's our natural state.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like a deflection thing. If the focus is on doing, then you don't even consider being.
Yes. Yeah, because being is doing nothing.
That's right. Well, that's defined by negation is such a way ego does it.
Yeah. And if we look at society, doing nothing, my God. I mean, that is absolutely the worst thing that you can say about somebody.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I had the experience of this morning of just sitting and letting life come to me. Right, that orientation of existence is just so exquisite that the sacred can talk to you, and you let that happen in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
That level of participation.
It's very difficult when we're busy doing.
Oh God,
following the ego around, doing or not doing, right?
Yeah, doing or not doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Erin in Massachusetts.
Hello, Erin.
How are you?
Seeing?
Well, my duality is also between that doing and not doing piece.
Mm-hmm.
And like my area of focus is something where I think I'm supposed to be doing something, and that's one side. And then the other side is what I have done hasn't necessarily worked. So I feel I get stuck in the middle there. But I just want to say, Ashwini said something just now that really resonated with me, that part of you know, how do you sit with not doing? It's like so much of our lives is go, 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 go. It's hard to
yes.
even be available to like sit. Like I even, like this morning, sat down on the front porch and tried to find 5 minutes of not looking at my email. I mean, come on. Bananas. So anyway, it's between doing and not doing, and just like I have an obligation to do. And at the same time, doing cannot be fruitful, and so maybe
well,
it's the
Well, Aaron,
you know.
I would ask you to consider that statement. I have an obligation to do, because that's the kind of thing that we goes through our head. We believe it. We don't question it. We don't look at it, right? And so if I believe that. If I have an obligation to do, then of course I don't have 5 minutes not to be on email. Because I have an obligation to do. And so when we stop and really look at something like that, what the heck does that mean? I have an obligation to do. You know, one of the things that we don't like to consider as human beings is if I die this afternoon, my obligation to do goes away. And that has happened to millions of people, right? And so so just to look at it from that point of view, okay, but what is your obligation to Aaron? What is your obligation to the human being?
Yeah, I mean, I
and
can,
so those
I can,
are,
yeah.
Yeah, not questions really to be answered in that sense, but just... To really look at, do I honestly believe that my obligation to do is more important than my life?
I mean, I feel the obligation is because of the time in my life that I'm in right now. It's pretty cultural. Like in my culture, I'm expected to do this and this and this other thing too.
Of course.
And when whenever I step out of it, I can I project that other people are like, what did she do? She stepped out. Why?
That's right. That is exactly right. And this is a really interesting time because one of the things that we get constantly is the story of that person who just died unexpectedly. That person who just died. That person who usually we don't hear this. Right? I mean, we do if they die in some sort of major, horrible way, right? But not just regular people who died for no reason, but they went to a party or they went to work or they, okay? And so, yeah, there's cultural pressure. Of course, absolutely there is. It doesn't change our obligation to look and see if we're living the life that in the moment of death, we're going to say, yes, well lived. Yes, I did what I wanted. Yes, I got what I came here for. Yep, I feel satisfied with that. I'm complete. Ready to go.
Okay.
Something to look at, huh?
Yeah.
Give yourself definitely. 10 minutes on that porch, okay?
Okay, I will. I promise.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Aaron. It's such a sobering reflection and such an important one, at least to give ourselves the chance to explore what we are giving our life force to.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And that, just that, not that there's a right answer to it, but just that
does this speak to my heart? Is this really, yeah? And if not, you know, the choice that isn't then, okay, well, then I'm just going to throw it all in, leave my family, leave my friends, leave my career, and just go sit under a tree somewhere. That may not be your calling, but there also might be somewhere between giving 24 hours out of every day to that and balancing it out with some time for the human being.
Mm-hmm. It's at least examined.
Yes, precisely. Yeah, no right answer, but at least clarity. At least clarity. What a combination. But clarity.
Yes. All right. Here's our next caller. I think we have time for one more. Here you go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Tracy in Santa Cruz.
Hello, Tracy. What are you seeing?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Sweeney. So I find this so helpful, this participating as doing, the belief that participating is doing versus considering participating as just showing up for life and whatever life offers as what's next. And I see that the duality, well, there wasn't even an awareness of the duality that participating could be just showing up and being in life in whatever way life is offering, but the steps were that participating goes to a belief, as that has been acknowledged before here this morning, that there's something to do, but I'm never the right person to do that, and I'm not adequate.
Well, there's another layer, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. And so it stops me from really showing up for life because...
Or even for doing, right, Tracy?
Or even for
doing. You can't even show up for doing because you're actually the wrong person. So you're sort of stalled in that,
yeah.
You should do. You're supposed to do. There really is something wrong with you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I hadn't realized until this new theme, this new focus, how much this focus on participating or participation is such a place where ego feeds. And create suffering.
Yeah.
Just huge.
Yeah, because what I'm getting out of what you're saying is because we're actually not using the correct words. Right? It's not participating. We don't talk about participating. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a job. There's what I do. There are obligations. I have responsibilities. And so all of those take us into the doing realm rather than the being realm of, hey, you know, I'm here, right? And what if that's the whole point of it? That we never get to consider that. Because as soon as I go over to that other side, then there are all the standards, there's the judgment, there's the projections onto other people. There's, oh, my God, suffering, we could call that.
Yeah. And that's been the jump.
Go ahead. That's been the jump.
Well, that has been the jump. I mean, what you just described it. The participating translated immediately into doing, never into being.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the point, the piece that you're adding to it is, opening for all of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, right? That's just as soon as you step out there to do, it's got us. right? With how are you doing and how do you look and what do people think of you and was that the right thing and what are you going to do next and are you prepared? And
exactly.
Gosh.
Yeah. And it's just immobilizing for the human.
Oh, God, so, yes.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, you know, you're a singer, right? And you're getting ready to step out onto the stage or in front of the camera or whatever it is, and that's what you're hit with?
Yeah.
You'd be paralyzed, which we are
exactly.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And don't even know it because
we
believe it. It's just how it is. And it's
right.
true.
Yeah.
If you were the right person,
right.
Tracy, none of this would be happening.
Well, and if I were the right person, I would be able to participate. But I'm
absolutely
not the right person, so I can't
perfectly.
Participate. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And so I'm so grateful for this focus. And Ashwini said something yesterday, just to pull this in. The whole idea of participating as showing up for your unique part in life,
mm-hmm.
being present for your
mm-hmm.
unique part in life was so helpful. So thank
mm-hmm.
you. Great gratitude as always.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Because that summarizes it, doesn't it? That is the missing piece.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. That you already, when you step onto that stage or in front of that camera, you have everything you need, or you wouldn't be there.
Right.
You
yeah,
are what's
that,
called for,
mm-hmm.
or you wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Great gosh.
Yeah.
Go
thank
happy.
You. Go happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tracy. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show, our assignment for today. Can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you never win? Example, if I address the issue, it's going to produce a situation that is uncomfortable for me. If I don't address the issue, the current situation continues and is unbearable, not just for me, but for everyone else as well. Either way, I'm uncomfortable. Assignment. What are the two choices the voices offer you? RL, what you see.
Beautiful. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Ashwini, and thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Sherry. Go happy.
Go happy.